What country did this car from?
It no longer exists, but take her for a test drive, and you'll agree. Zagreb FM Zlotnik je.
Hello and welcome to Brilliant H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the heck are you?
Very well, and you?
I do well.
Good to hear it. Very, very good to hear it, Terry.
Long time no see, eh, pal?
Huh? Folks, he's just joking around because we actually saw each other on Saturday.
And Sunday.
and twice on Sunday.
Twice last year.
Yeah, we rented, not just me and Terry, it wasn't a romantic trip away, as Kerry liked to call it.
It got a bit romantic, not for us. One of our party could have... Not really, but we had fun
with the host of the of the Airbnb.
We had fun joshing him about it, though. We were just laughing.
It was so much fun, I have to say. It was just
one of my 20 for 20 is still left over. My 20 bottles of Bulmers.
Oh, the old Bulmers,
man.
I've got a tankard of apple and blackcurrant here.
That looks like diabetes in a bag.
In a bag?
Yeah, well, it looks like a giant plastic bag. It's a five litre bottle of
apple and blackcurrant, eh?
Too much apple and blackcurrant, man.
Never too much. But, I tell you what, there was a moment, I don't know if this is going to translate too much, but there was a moment on that night where Terry had me, one of the hardest I've laughed.
I thought you were going to die. I thought you were.
I've laughed in so, and that's what I was saying, like, yeah, you actually can't put a price on that. It was worth it for that, just for that laugh.
That was worth the price of admission alone. For that 20 seconds.
And it was so simple. It was one of about 100 throwaway gags where... Like we were all playing FIFA and we'd all pressed like ready, like XXX, and Coffee was the only one left. And Terry's like, "It's you, Coff." And just like, "It's always been you." I swear to God, I was laughing. Like, I'm not doing it justice. I was
eating a caramel square or whatever.
But like, and then I was, because I'd laughed so much initially, then I was like, I kept just being like, shaking my body after it and trying to hide it, because like every time I thought of it I wanted to just burst out laughing. I've been dining out on that for days, so thank you, Terry.
Look, that's what I'm in this business called life for. if you can make a joke where somebody is eating or drinking and break them in that way, it makes my life worth living. That's what it is. Like,
if only I had been drinking.
One of our friends, a friend of the podcast, Paul Egan, when you can crack a joke and make him, he just covers his eyes and rolls his head back, but there's no noise coming out of him. If you can get that reaction out of somebody.
That's what it's all about, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's what life's all about, folks. God, I love life.
Excellent. I love it.
This week, yeah.
Well, what else has been going on, Terry, since then?
Not much. I've been watching a new show on Netflix.
Oh, yeah?
Have you heard of Squid Game?
I have.
Have you watched it?
I watched... Here's my problem. It looked so good.
Fucking deadly.
Okay, I'm glad to hear that. I turned it on for about 25 minutes, but I had the dubbed version, which I never normally do, and it ruined it. It was so like we were just laughing at it. So
put the subs on.
Yeah, we were even saying yesterday that we should give it another go with the original audio, which we normally do.
How far did you get?
We didn't get to anything.
Nothing
yet.
Like he's just betting his money or whatever.
Basically, yeah. So it was just the start.
That's even so good. Then I'm like, what are you doing? Like,
I know. But I couldn't concentrate because the voices were so stupid.
I was like, I had it on subs, and then I was like trying to mess around with it, and I accidentally put it on dub for like a second. And I was like, oh no.
Oh no, no, no. It looks right up my street, to be honest.
It is. The first episode is kind of like Battle Royale.
Right.
The second episode is kind of like Parasite. Like it's so like it's heady but also very genre-y. It's fucking deadly.
Yeah. It looked incredible. So yeah,
it's really good.
How many episodes into it are you?
I'm on the third episode.
Okay.
So look, I'll be honest, I haven't had a lot of time to watch stuff this week.
Oh, right.
Since we recorded last, when did we record last? Thursday?
Thursday, yeah, in Stude.
Yeah, and I know, I would say Squid Game is two thumbs up. Okay. No, that was bad. I shouldn't have done the voice.
Cancel.
Yeah. Shouldn't have done the voice. But Squid Game's great, and I'm going to keep watching it. I want to check out Midnight Mass as well, which is on Netflix.
Kerry's been watching that, and she says it's fucking brilliant.
And why didn't you watch it?
I don't know.
I sent you the trailer.
I wasn't sure if that was the one.
The trailer looks so fucking good, man.
She had just started watching it. There's lots of things that I wouldn't normally watch. And that scene, I don't know, she thought that would that'd be
it's
one
Mike
that
Flanagan.
I wouldn't be interested in.
He's your guy.
Who's that?
The guy who did Oculus. The guy who, every time one of his projects comes out, I tell you, and I'm like, it's the guy who did Oculus.
I'm going to ask to just watch it.
Yeah.
But yeah, is it good, yeah? Oh, you haven't seen it, but
I haven't watched it. I really want to watch it. He's done a few though. Bly Manor, and I didn't watch those. I watched maybe a couple episodes of the Hill House one.
That was great.
Why only
a couple, Terry? What was your problem with it?
I was watching it with Faye.
She wasn't into it.
She was very into it, and then maybe got a little too into it. Yeah, that it was like, I don't want to watch this anymore. It's scary. So I just never went back to it.
It's worth it.
I've seen, he has a movie on Netflix. I think it's a Netflix movie called Hush, where it's about a deaf girl living in a cabin in the middle of the woods.
I've seen
some guy,
the thumbnail.
It's fucking good, man. It's a 90-minute home invasion type thing.
Yeah.
And I think your one from Hush is in Midnight Mass. I think it's actually Mike Flanagan's, partner or whatever.
Oh, right.
And he did Gerald's Game, which I keep telling you to watch.
I've seen it. Well, I've seen the first hour and 15 minutes.
You didn't get to the bit at the end, though, with Lurch.
No. That's what I was... I think I was saying it on the podcast. It was when it got into the whole kid stuff, and I was just like, I don't want to watch this.
Okay, fair enough.
I was just like, I don't want to be like, oh, isn't that terrible?
It is terrible. It's based on a book.
I have the option to just be like, nope.
Yeah. I guess you want to live your life that way.
I'll put on... Yeah, I do. I do want to live my life that way. I'll put on
Final Space.
I'll put on... Yeah, Final Space has been fucking brilliant. I don't know what your problem... This is some weird mental block that you have.
I don't like it.
It's right up... This is the exact sort of show that you would recommend to me.
It's not done well.
It's done very well. If anything, it's done well, and they could beef up the, the jokes or whatever. But I have to say, it looks incredible as well.
Anyway.
You're crazy.
But the one... Look, I don't want this to turn into the Bo Burnham podcast, because we always talk about him.
No problems there.
I did check out his Watt special.
Oh, yeah? How was it?
Have you seen it, no?
No, I haven't, actually.
It's weird.
Wow.
In a way that is like... Because you're going back even further than Make Happy.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of why. Even though, it's the exact same problem I had before. It's like, oh, he's too young.
Younger still. And, he's definitely... There's parts of that whole what am I doing that for? I don't like you crowd type thing. There is a couple of the whole opening part of it is him lip syncing and dancing and stuff like that. It's very well done.
Yeah.
I think I was just a bit whoa. I was a bit taken aback by it.
Right.
He does it's like a skit almost in the middle of it where he splits, it's very well done in that he's you get split into your left brain and your right brain.
Oh yeah.
So the left brain is blue, there's a blue light and he's turned to the right, and then brain is a red light and he's real animated. One is the cold calculated, one is the creative. That's probably the best thing about it. I thought it was really, really well done. But I would say out of the three that are on Netflix, it's the weakest. Okay. It's just a bit, at times, a bit immature. It's still very funny.
I would expect that, though, as well. That would have been, 2013? He would have
but
been,
like, even
what,
for,
like, 22?
This guy, you're, at that age, you're, he's, some sort of wunderkind.
He's like, some sort. There's something special about him. You know what I mean? And you know what I like about him?
He's tapped into something. Like,
yeah, he's on some sort of frequency that I want to get on. And he's and he's got there's no bullshit about him as well, which is what I love. Like, there's no I feel like he thinks exactly the way we would think, and not just like me and you specifically, but just us and people we know, and like you know what I mean. Just not
there
like,
is like you should check out 8th Grade. Like, I think you would. It's again, it's like 90 minutes.
So like a sob story.
It's not really like it's kind of like.
Is it a kid going through trouble?
Trouble, but like
lighthearted.
Everyday trouble, like, you know, it's
is it lighthearted or is it
it's lighthearted, and it touches on theme on like, Jesus, I hate to be a fucking kid these days. Like, people have called it like a horror movie in that, like,
all right,
it's like if you're in that situation at the pool party where you think, fuck, I fucked this up, my life's over.
Yeah.
Like, that, they put you in those shoes really well.
Right, okay.
As opposed to, you take 5 steps back and you're like, they just had a pool party, what are you talking about? You know, like...
Okay.
But, like, you're in...
I have no doubt that it's good.
It's very good. And, like... Yeah. Like, I recently listened to him on Marc Maron, one of the older episodes. Oh, yeah. And it was like, Marc Maron's like, oh, so you're, like, the teenage girl. And he's like, yeah, that's how I kind of see myself sometimes. And I was like, that's good. Like,
I believe that, yeah.
But otherwise, I haven't really been watching it. I'll tell you what I've been watching. I've been watching trailers, Andy.
Oh, yeah?
I love a good trailer. You
do
know
love
me.
A good trailer. You love a good trailer almost as much as you love a good movie. You love the unofficial trailers. You love the fan-made trailers or whatever that guy is.
That's not a trailer.
It's a bunch of trailers. Yeah, it's a bunch of trailers, though.
No, it's not a bunch of trailers. It's there's clips that you don't see in the trailers that he puts together. He literally edits bits from movies in.
Okay. Okay.
Top 25 enough. Of the year, and they're fucking fantastic.
What's his name for the people who want to know?
David Ehrlich. Ehlrich.
Not even close.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
but
trailers,
I watched, like, I sent you the trailer for Midnight Mass. I thought it was fucking deadly.
It did look good.
I'm not a huge fan of Keane, but they used that song "Somewhere Only We Know."
Oh yeah.
In it, and I was like, "Fuck, that's spooky." When you drop all the music out of it, and it's put with a bunch of like horror shit, that's a spooky fucking song. Like,
yeah, Jesus, Keane. That's
Keane. Remember Keane?
The
huh?
Yeah,
they were
that's
big.
The blast from 2003.
No, what was 2008. 9, I'd say, or
really?
8, like, yeah, around that. Like, my I'd say 2003, we were 17, like, so I'd say about like early 20s.
Yeah, okay, know? Fair enough. Yeah. I lump a lot of things in between that 2003 to 2013, like, benchmark. But
the latest, the Matrix, the new Matrix trailer, the Matrix Resurrections trailer was out a few weeks ago. Did you see that?
No,
fucking great, looks amazing.
So they're righting the wrongs of the sequels, or were they wrongs?
Look, I'll say I would probably need to watch them again, the sequels, but I didn't care for them. Considering the first Matrix, it blew my mind.
Yeah.
In terms of what the they've blown up filmmaking here. You know, this is a new art form.
Yeah.
And now... The next two were just, they were just disappointments, you know what I mean? If I was to examine them critically again, maybe I might appreciate them a little bit more.
Yeah.
But I just remember them being kind of boring, like, or like too much, like gobbledygook, like too much gobbledygook in them.
Like too much new rules? Did they bring in a bunch of new
rules? So many rules. Like, there's a whole thing. Remember there was a guy that was like, the Merovingian, who had like, it was kind of like a, you had to ask him the right questions or something. And then, of course, there was the architect.
Oh, yeah. Like, don't worry about the, don't worry. Oh, yeah, the architect. I was thinking of the fucking, the muse, or what was her? Your one?
Oracle?
The Oracle, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't worry about the vase.
Yeah, and then it falls over.
Yeah. Okay.
But somebody, that was good, but the new Paul Thomas Anderson movie, the trailer called, it's Licorice Pizza is the name,
okay.
Right?
Now, Paul Thomas Anderson is the... No, see, I'm thinking of Wes Anderson. Who's Paul Thomas Anderson?
He directed There Will Be Blood.
Okay. Real deal.
I mean, Wes Anderson's real deal as well, Andy.
Is he, though?
Yeah, I mean, he is.
Okay, yeah. Okay, fine, he is.
I mean, his last movie, I mean, the one before his last movie, got 13 Oscar nominations. So, you know, he's doing all right for himself.
Which one was that?
Grand Budapest Hotel. It's on Disney Plus. I think a lot of his ones are on Disney Plus.
Huh. Grand Budapest Hotel, good?
Great. Okay. Fucking
excellent. Who am I asking? Of course you're going to say great.
It is great.
Is there any Wes Anderson movie you don't like?
Yes, a couple.
Ooh. Okay. Hit me.
A couple. Darjeeling Limited is
actually quite like that one, I remember.
You love all of India. Them. You love India.
Yeah,
though,
I think that's what it was. I seen it in my early 20s and I was like, hey, cool.
Life Aquatic is not really for me either. Like,
okay. And they'd be, well, Life Aquatic could be one of the big, big mentions.
That was like this follow up to Royal Tenenbaums, which, you know, that's like top three of his for me.
Oh, right. Yeah, Royal Tenenbaums.
Like, Rushmore is on Disney Plus. You should watch Rushmore, man. It's fucking deadly.
I just don't like that nervous guy who's always in him. What's your man's name?
Schwartzman?
Yeah, Schwartzman.
Yeah, he's good, though.
He didn't do I Heart Huckabees, did he?
He did. No, he didn't. He didn't do I Heart Huckabees. David O. Russell. Okay, asshole. Jesus.
Is he? Tell me more. Come on. I want to know more.
It's just a video. If you look up David O. Russell, I Heart Huckabees, it's like him having a meltdown on set, screaming at like one of the actresses.
No way.
Yeah, it's, you know, and he's notoriously an asshole. Like, not Clooney really. Apparently wanted to beat the shit out of on Three Kings. You know, if you can get under Clooney's skin, you're doing well.
If you're
doing
making
well.
George Clooney mad, you're the problem.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right? but Licorice Pizza, the trailer uses Life on Mars for the whole way. And I'm just away, George.
Yeah, but is that a bit of a cheap shot, though, Terry?
No.
Am I just being cynical by thinking that? I mean, you could really just, you could put whatever Hey Jude on something, or because would be the one, you know, everything's going to look better. You know what I mean? Am I being too cynical?
I think you are, because this is a film set in the 70s.
Okay.
And about, like, I think it's about a young guy who's also a child actor. He's a high school student who's also a child actor. And, like, it's kind of both of those lives are, like, clashing, I guess.
Yeah.
So, like, I think it's pretty thematically, you know, relevant.
Okay.
I love a good trailer.
You're a trailersman. Yeah. You've always been trailers.
I actually, if you look at my YouTube searches, like, the top one is probably like trailer. I just type in trailer and then it's like new trailers this week that pop up. Like, I'm like, ooh.
I have to say the YouTube recommended is very intuitive. You know what I mean? Like there'd be times when, like, I would know for sure that, like, the first choice is going to be something that I've been meaning to watch that day. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I'll watch that later. And I know then when I open up YouTube, top left, it's right there. You know what I mean? So, I mean, is that a good thing? That's the other question.
I don't know.
You know
are
what
you
I
listening?
Mean?
Hmm? Probably, most definitely. Like,
well, there to what? You. You've got the, or do you? The
I've Google. Got the Alexa.
There you go.
Amazon is definitely stealing my data.
You're part of the machine.
Yeah. Welcome to the machine. Well, what about you, chum?
I've been well. I tell you what, I've been in a real bad mood today.
Okay.
I'll tell you what.
Because you had a bad day.
I'll tell you what. I used to love that song as well.
DP. Yeah. Daniel Powder.
Oh, God. There's a... Right, I park. When I come home, I park behind my house, basically. So in front of my garage. Okay.
Okay. So around the back, like?
Yeah, around the back. Because the front is kind of like a main road and a narrow path.
I have no idea how your house is. I can't wait to see your house.
You just see this little area here. There's a wheel usually on the wall somewhere. But there's this car that's been parking like very close
on your
to
property?
The garage. No, see, because this is the thing. Technically, it's not on my property. I don't own that road, right? And it's like a little back road. You know what I mean? Like it's a little, like just behind the houses sort of road. So it's not like a road.
Gotcha.
Like a cul-de-sac. But like... but they parked them in front of the garage. So I left a note, a very nice note that just said, literally it said this: hi, would you mind not parking in front of the garage as it's blocking access for the homeowner? Thanks. Right? Very, just no problem. Right? And the last couple of days, they've been parking a little bit close for my liking, but like, right, they're not in front of the garage, so fine. Maybe the nose would be just peeking in. But like, there's loads of room behind them. Like, it's not like it's chock-a-block for space or anything. Like, there's loads of room, loads of places to park. And then today I come home and it's right in front of the garage again. And I was like, this motherfucker. And like,
she let the air out of his tires.
I think it's a she as well.
Of her tires. But of like, their tires.
I've no way of knowing. I'm just judging by the car and the interior that it's a she. I could be wrong. So I left another note today.
It's just like my pal Egg here. You don't know if it's a he or a she. Never.
So I left another note today saying, I've asked very nicely.
Oh!
I said, I asked very nicely for you not to park here. Please don't park here in the future, as it's completely blocking access to the garage. Like, so a bit more stern, but like, you know, not out of line or anything like that. So now I'm waiting for to see what the next, like, I mean, I can get as petty,
egged me.
I can get as petty as they want, but like, I just hate thinking about it. I hate that I have a thing now with this fucking car. I want to just come home. Even when it does park just in front of the garage, I still have to sort of maneuver my way in. I can't just drive right up into my spot. It's a whole thing, and I'm
stuff
a little
like that
wound
is
up
great,
about it
though. Like, it's it's also hilarious when you look back on it. Like, we had a whole, when we were living in Clontarf and we were on the top floor apartment,
yeah,
there was a people across the hall from us, yeah, just two of us on the top floor. You remember when you went up the stairs, you,
yeah,
had a door on the left, our door on the right, and they kept leaving their
bike, wasn't it,
rubbish,
all right,
like their bin outside, like on the hallway,
right,
just be left there, like, and you were like, what the I'd walk upstairs, like, what the fuck, like, and then it was like they left something out, and like Faye put a note on it being like, oh, because it was actually getting like further away, like,
right,
to the middle, like,
yeah,
their bin would be like outside their door, and then it'd be like almost closer to our door,
yeah. Right.
Like, it's your bin. Like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
And, like, I think Faye left a note being, she kind of moved it back over and then was like, why do you want to get rid of me? Or something like that. Like, can't I come inside?
They said this?
No, Faye put this note on it, right? And then it was like, they moved it back towards our door with it posted on being like, you've moved me in so many ways. I was like, all right. They were weirdos. I was like, they're making soap or they're doing something in that apartment. Like, you know, it,
right,
seems like they're running some sort of weird business out of there.
Very odd.
But like,
I mean, I'd be happy. I'd be happy if my situation turns somewhat lighthearted. But like, what do you do in this situation? Like, what would you do? What would you do in this situation?
You let the air out of tires.
No, I can't do that. Kerry said I should rub Sudocream. She said like, don't damage the car, but just rub Sudocream all over the windshield and say no and write no parking in it. And that, and she's like,
that's a proper
soap and water job. Like, they'll get in the car.
But that's like an act of aggression.
Yeah, I know. But I mean,
aggression, man, it will not stand.
And then like they're a dog owner. Like, there's a dog blanket in the passenger seat with a few tennis balls. Like, you know, they're
so
obviously like.
What's
it's
that
obviously
got
like a compassionate person if they have a dog.
Are they? Hold on. That's what he's.
I mean, okay, fine. That's a huge generalization. But,
yeah, 100%.
You know,
they could have
still,
fucking. They could be dog fighters, like.
Okay. Yeah. Well, whatever. But still, I mean, what sort of person does this? What sort of?
I remember a friend of mine parked, like, not even in the driveway, in front of the driveway of my, like, the house next to my parents.
Right.
Like, it was just, they didn't block in somebody who was parked in my parents' driveway. So he parked like next, not even next door, but like just,
yeah,
a bit in front of him. And the guy let the air out of his tires because he was in front of his property.
This is your neighbor who did this?
Yeah.
Do I know who it is?
To the left. It's the old guy to the left of my parents' house.
It's not Al. Yeah.
Not Al.
I'd expect that from Al.
Yeah.
But anyway, apart from that, I feel a bit better.
Here, since you're in this humor, this might be cathartic. If you could, like, beat up one celebrity,
ooh,
without repercussions, like, you have like an hour to take out your frustration on this celebrity in a room.
An hour? I wouldn't need an hour.
They can't fight back. You have an hour. They'll take your time. Like, you know, they can't fight back. Who would it be?
That is a great question.
How about this, huh? This is the content you're looking for.
Who do I dislike strongly? Machine Gun Kelly. He drives
a okay. Yeah, he's a bit of a little weasel, isn't he? Like,
you know what? I seen a thing of like, this is the only, this is my, was my introduction to him. I guess he like used to be like a rapper and now he's gone a bit pop.
Is he not a rapper?
Or something? Yeah, he was, but his latest album is like all pop punk stuff or whatever, right? So he's whatever. And I seen a thing that Travis Barker posted on Twitter of like, oh, Interscope Records is about to get shaken up. And it's him secretly filming like Machine Gun Kelly and this like board meeting, like jumping up on the table and like air guitaring and jumping around to, I guess, his song playing while all these suits are just sort of looking and being like, what are you doing?
What's going on thinking,
this fucking, like, you know, I immediately disliked him after that. And every time I've seen him, I've just liked him less and less. He'd be one.
So you pick him?
I have more though.
You only have one pick. Oh, you know my pick.
Who's yours?
Guess.
If you could, Jaden Smith?
Close. Somebody who I've mentioned in the past how much I dislike them.
American or British or Irish?
British in America.
Oh, okay. British in America. Like, yeah. Ricky Gervais or something?
He wishes he was Ricky Gervais.
Go on.
Gordon.
Oh, yeah, James Gordon, of course.
God.
I mean, look, he's, yeah,
You surely saw the video of that, like, Cinderella thing.
I did,
like,
yeah.
What the fuck is he doing?
I know, but I'm sure there's context to this, like, all we're seeing is this fan, you know, or this first-hand cam or whatever. I'm sure there's more to it than this, like, surely there has to be.
No, like, I get it,
that was bad, I can't defend that, and I was waiting to be tagged in a post by you when I saw that, actually, because I was too furious. But in general, like, before that, I'll say, I didn't really, and even that, I thought it was all a bit much, like, there was proper
wanker.
Yeah, but, like, how is he, why, like, what's he done? Is he, like, wanker? Wanker makes me think he's besmirched someone. You know what I mean? I'd say he's a lovely guy.
You know what? I don't think he's a lovely guy. I'd say he's so fucking fake. Like,
maybe. I don't know enough about him, but I've never gotten that. You know, like that.
Well, look, that's my pick. All right.
I've got more though.
What?
A lot of British comedians. Now that you said British,
but he'd be the one that I would get most. Like, I wouldn't feel bad about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this is something that, like, you're probably going to feel bad about afterwards, but not with this guy.
I'm going to be absolutely kicking myself that I didn't say such and such whenever
I'm kind of putting you on the spot, though.
Yeah, but come back to me next week. I'll have a bunch of answers for you.
Okay, cool.
Listen, Terry, now that I've gotten all my problems off my chest, can I talk to you a bit about The Simpsons, please?
Sure.
More specifically, Terry, can I talk to you about the 23rd episode of Season 8, Homer's Enemy?
Please.
Let me just take a swig of my 5-gallon jug here. Ooh. Aired May 4th, 1997. Now, don't think I haven't done any research on this, because I have. I've got some right here. Hang on. It was written by John Swartzwelder and directed by Jim Reardon and executive produced by Oakley and Weinstein. One of the goals of Oakley and Weinstein was to create several episodes in each season that would push the envelope conceptually. The idea for the episode was first conceived by our pal Bill Oakley, who thought that Homer should have an enemy. The thought evolved into the concept of a real-world co-worker who would either love or hate Homer. The writers chose the latter, as they thought it would have funnier results. The result was the character of Grimes, a man who had to work hard all his life with nothing to show for it, and dismayed and embittered by Homer's success.
Like, I loved when he was talking to us about it, you know, and he was basically saying, like, he's the guy that's, like, from the real world.
That's us in there. And that's why he had to go.
We had to kill him. But, like, he broke the reality of the show, essentially. Like,
yeah, like, he's us. He's kind of like a Chalmers character of like, you know,
yeah,
everyone's crazy in this town.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
nah. Weinstein has expressed regret about killing off Grimes after only one episode, describing him as such an amazing character. Which I would agree.
Yeah.
George Meyer, in an interview, said Grimes' cardinal sin was that he shined a light on Springfield. He pointed out everything that was wrong-headed and idiotic about the world, and the people who do that tend to become martyrs. The subplot when Bart buys a factory was added so that there would be some lighter scenes to split up the main plot. According to Weinstein, we wanted to have a Bart or Lisa kid story to contrast the heaviness and reality of Frank Grimes. Which makes sense.
Definitely.
It had a Nielsen rating of 7.7. Big drop. Which is equivalent to approximately 7.5 million homes. It was the sixth highest rated show on Fox that week. Now, I will be very impressed if you... And I'll tell you this, you're never going to get this one, but one of the five things in front of it is a film that was broadcast that week.
Okay.
It's May 97. I will say that the film... I won't tell you who it stars. It stars a...
What rising, year?
97.
No, but what year is the film from? Yeah,
hang on, I'll tell you that.
Otherwise, it's, is it the X-Files?
94 the film was from.
Is it the X-Files on Fox?
Yes, the X... yeah, the X-Files is one.
X-Files, 90210, Melrose.
Yeah.
King of the Hill.
Yeah. So,
this film is a movie
that was in 1994. And I'll tell you, it was directed by Mr. Chuck Russell.
Okay.
I didn't know if you would know that. No. There's an up-and-coming comedic A-lister starring in it.
Is it Jim Carrey?
It is.
Is it... The Mask?
It is.
Yeah!
Very good, Terry.
So, because I know that was his big year, so it was it was Ace Ventura, The Mask, and Dumb and Dumber were the three movies he released in the 1 year.
Oh, so they were all released in 94?
Yeah, so I think he got paid. I remember reading...
Oh, yeah, the million.
It's like, whatever, 60 grand for Ace Ventura, 120 or 150 grand for The Mask or whatever. So a bump, and then it was like up to $1 million for Dumb and Dumber because it was just three monster movies.
They were huge hits. Fair play, Terry.
What a year.
I tell you, there's... Well, it's the 90s, Terry. We know we know what's so great about the 90s.
Do we?
Yeah, well, again, to me, notes.
Sure.
First note was I laughed at the... First of all, love the opening little piece on Frank Grimes narrated by Kent Brockman.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's really well done. The whole... And the bit that I laughed out loud of where he's like... It's like, until he was blown up in a silo explosion. Like, of all the things.
The video for it as well, it's just like him running towards the silo and then it just explodes. I liked the term Springfieldite.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That was nice.
Yeah.
And even, like, even the crow trying to steal his degree after he gets it at the end, like, he's holding on tight to it. Like, this is clearly the unluckiest man in the world.
The home video of him being abandoned. by his parents at age four. He never got to go to school. Instead, he spent his childhood as a delivery boy giving gifts to wealthier children. And, like, just like, oh...
What was the... Was it Grimes? I hope I'm not jumping. No, I don't think so. No. My next quote that I have here was just a line that I laughed at, but I don't know if they're talking about Grimes or the dog, where he's like, he pulled a toddler from a path of a speeding car.
That's the dog.
Damn it.
So it's like... But literally, it's like two scenes, because like Burns is like, I want to make him my executive vice president.
Yeah.
And then it's like the next day, he's like... Here's Frank Grimes.
And I love that he's already watching a thing about the dog. And like it just shows how fickle Burns is. He's like, there's this dog. Like, straight away he's forgotten.
Pulled a toddler from the path of his speeding car and then pushed a criminal in front of it. I find this dog. I want to make him my executive vice president. And he's like, yes, sir. In the meantime, here's Frank Grimes. And he just like the hand out. Like,
Poor Grimes. And I have to say, brilliantly voiced by... Who was it? Hank Azaria?
This is his best performance.
I think so.
It's so good.
It's brilliant. I kept thinking, like, is that, like, even though I knew it was, you could tell by the voice, but like, it's such a, it's like they hired the actor Hank Azaria, if you know what I mean, like, yeah, like to do something like, completely.
Hank Azaria can do drama, like,
yeah.
I'm trying to think, what was, he had a show where he was like a therapist. All like right. A really bad therapist, like a kind of comedy drama show. I want to say like Huff or something was the name of the show. Hold on, let me
go on.
Let me have a quick Google.
Come on, mate. Yeah, even like the way he like delivers the line. I know it's at the end where he's like, "You're a fraud. You're a total fraud."
You
know,
nice like, to meet you.
Yeah, yeah, like these sort of lines. You don't normally get that kind of delivery, even though he's a regular. You know,
Huff. It was actor. Huff.
You knew it was Huff.
I didn't know. I you know. I.
Are you ever wrong about these sort of things?
Yes, plenty.
Who directed that one?
Oh, it's a TV show.
Yeah, who directed the episode?
Oh, four? I don't know.
oh, sorry. You're a film buff, not a TV buff.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah. Okay. You know, number of seasons 26. A number of seasons 2.
What?
Two seasons, 26 episodes.
Okay.
Directed by Scott Winant.
Okay, I didn't really want to know. I was just testing you.
Matt Shankman. No. Oh, tell you what, Matt Shankman directed WandaVision.
Okay.
He did a couple episodes. And nobody. Scott Winant seems to be the main guy who I've never heard of.
Okay, well, we'll leave that there.
Yeah, leave it there. So,
My next note is when Lenny, Carl, and Homer are introducing themselves to Grimey. And like, just the way Lenny's like, "I'm Lenny." It's like, "This is Carl and Homer. I'm Lemmy." Lenny.
I love it. Like Carl would be like, "You know?" He's like,
they've got their face pressed up against the glass before they come in.
Or like Homer spinning in his chair.
Yeah.
Being like, "Hey Homer, let's go meet the new guys." Like, "I don't know. I'm pretty bit dizzy."
And then I did like the line when Homer's like, they're talking about like, he's like, we got our masters. Oh, Homer here just showed up the day they opened. He's like, yeah, I didn't even know what a nuclear panner plant was.
Yeah. And like Homer's so enamored with like the pencils. Like, you've got pencils with your name on it. Just like a pencil company executive. I'd give anything for one of these. And like, Grimey being like, well, you know, any office supply company can have the made up fee. He's like, can I have this one? No. Can Lenny have it? Like, no. He's like,
already.
Like, literally 20 seconds into meeting this man. Like,
and the thing about him, like, he's no malice intended at all.
You know, I don't know, though.
You think?
The first couple of instances with Homer and Grimes where I'm like, like, as it goes on, yeah, definitely no malice. Yeah. But like, when Homer, like, he eats his lunch. He eats Frank Grimes' lunch. You know that's not your lunch. That's just true. Like, ignorant. Like, that's just being an ignorant pig. Imagine that happened to you.
And yeah, I feel like that is happening to me. That fucking car is eating my lunch, metaphorically.
Well, you know, that's what I would say to you if you get your ass kicked. That guy ate your lunch. So, yeah, he's kicking your ass. You go there, or whatever.
And paint his kitchen. but particularly taking the extra 2 bites before handing it back to him. Like, that's fair enough. Like, like jerk behavior.
I did like when like Marge is at the DMV.
Why is Marge looking at personalized license plates? Like, it's so un-Marge.
But I love it. And then she's like, Marge is taken? What about Marjorie?
It's taken.
What about Mitzi? Like,
taken.
There's Mitzi. I got Mitzi. Like,
imagine a driving around Mitzi instead of Marge.
You've gone so far away from where you started, but she's still Mitzi. Like contemplating it. Like, and then you get to the tax seizure room.
I love the auctioneer guy.
I got one.
Sold for a buck.
35 industry way. And I do like, we like, I was waiting to get into it, but I like this story of like,
I like this factory stuff. Yeah,
yeah. I'm like, whereas, and it doesn't really go anywhere, but like, they don't make a big deal out of it like they did with the Mr. Sparkle thing. I think that's the difference.
Yeah. Like, they're like, giving Homer a genuine, like, oh, what's going on?
Like, it's a mystery. It's like, Bart gets this factory. What would a kid do with a factory? And it's like, yeah, they do exactly what you think you would do with a factory. And it's kind of funny. And you're kind of enjoyable. And that's it. You know what I mean?
It's a lighthearted angle.
And again, it doesn't take up too much real estate because... And they fold it into the other story as well.
Yeah.
In a great gag later on. Like,
yeah, bringing him up that he owns a factory.
Yeah,
yeah. And I do think it was a great move having a kid side story or B story for this. But yeah, just on the lunch, just, I loved Grimes' thing of, the bag was clearly marked. Please be more careful in future.
Yeah.
And then the next one was Homer with all of Grimes' pencils.
My God. Now
that's obnoxious. He's got them in his ears, like.
It's like,
yeah, okay. The more I'm seeing it, the less.
Like, the first two points, I was like, "Fucking hell!" Like, all your pencils in his ears, eating them.
Yeah,
like, all of them. If it was just one, you wouldn't mind, really. Like,
I would. I would. I'd be furious. Yeah, if it was one.
When you told them not to already, I guess. Like, yeah. I don't know. I did like it as well, where he's like, "How you stretch? What's the word?" He's like, "My name is Grimes, Frank Grimes Simpson. I took the trouble to learn your name. The least you could do is learn mine." Like that tone,
yeah,
the intonation. It's really good.
Yeah, it's really good. He's so frustrated, okay, but he's grimy. Keeping kind of polite. Yeah,
yeah.
And the whole thing when Grimes is trying
to
work.
"You're eating my diegetic lunch." It's like, the bag is clearly marked.
But like when Grimes is trying to work and Homer's just like walking around his
take
office.
Me at the ball. Ball.
Yeah. Like, what's he doing?
So, how's it going, Grimey?
I'd appreciate it if you'd stay out of my office, Simpson.
I wish I had a nickel for every time I heard that. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the ball. So, what's new, Grimey?
Simpson, you got a 513. No, a 513. In your procedures manual, a 513? Look at your control panel.
Oh, a 513. I'll handle it. That got it.
Me at the ball. Hey, Grimey.
Like, that's so annoying.
Yeah. He's like, I'd appreciate it if you stay out of my office. He's like, oh, I had a nickel for every time I heard that.
He's like, nothing hurts this guy. Yeah. Like, you know, boy, I wish he's not sensing at all that he's.
Yeah, because it's actually like he comes in first. How's it going, Grimey?
Yeah.
And then he's like, he kind of tells him to stay out of his office. And then he does the take me out to the ball game. And then he's like, so what's new, Grimey? You're like, you've just been here. Like,
I think this is probably around the point where he's not so obnoxious, he's just dumb. Yeah, this is where it gets to, Frank's annoyed.
The first two are actually quite insensitive and jerkish behavior.
Yeah.
Now it's just like, he's Grimes dumb and oblivious. Becomes
obsessed with them, essentially.
Really envious of him though as well, you know, like that's the thing where it's like,
I think he starts off just like he can't fathom, and then like I said, yeah, then like in the third act it's just pure envy, you know,
pure hatred,
and,
you know, what would you call it?
Go on, give me the word. I'm gonna take a risk. Indignant. Am I using that word right?
Yeah, there's something like, there's like venom or something. That's the thing behind it, that it's like, there's this, like, I can't actually think of the word. It's not hatred, because, I mean, it is hatred, but like, there's something else there as well. Like, you know.
Yeah.
You know, there
I
is.
Know what you mean, yeah.
Like, envy, hatred, like, it's all in there. He hates, like,
yeah.
He can't stand him.
And then the whole like when Homer is going to, Homer's just sitting there and he's like, he eats like a pig, and all this, and then he goes to drink the acid, and like even like Grimes is still, he's like, ah, and he knocks it out of his hand and it makes a big hole in the wall. He's like, acid. He's like, you idiot.
He's like, that one, boy, my face has been red.
Like, stop laughing, you imbecile. And then like he gets trouble for it, and then yeah, he like Bernsey keeps him on with a reduced salary, like,
yeah, like that's the last thing he needs. Like,
he's so unlucky.
But I love how like Homer is the one that like rats him out. He's like, who did this? Like, he did.
Yeah.
He's like, he likes you.
And then
spilling my priceless acid. And the dog is barking at him as well. Like,
the dog is almost taking on the mannerism of Burns. Yeah. Like, just a day.
Because he was a good dog before that. Like, he's a hero dog. With the Bart stuff, just going back to it, where it was like, he, you know, when he finds the factory, like, it's empty.
Yeah.
So he just has, I think he just has like the wooden chair and the fire extinguisher. It would look so fun.
And I always remember thinking that as a kid. Like, that would be deadly.
Yeah. And then he hires Milhouse.
Who just happens to be passing.
Yeah. He's like, you don't have a factory.
Do you want the job or not?
Okay. So like, yeah, it's a good thing that it just sets up like him and Milhouse to...
It's a fun, loving
two latchkey kids having adventures in a, you know, a weird little space. You know what I mean?
Like, and was it because
like,
I have?
He then storms into like Homer's office and he's like, "Hey, like, Grimey, I'm your buddy." He's like, "I'm not your buddy, Simpson. I don't like you. In fact, I hate you. Stay the hell away from me. Because from now on, we're enemies."
That's good. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Thanks.
That's like, pretty good.
Okay. Like, and do I have to do anything?
And poor Homer, like, he really takes that hard.
Yeah, you can feel it, like, in the delivery of the okay, like.
And he's in there, like, confiding with, like, Mo. And Mo is like, it's like, you know, some people don't care for me neither. He's like, oh, well, I won't accept that. It's true.
I got the names written down on here while I call my enemies list. Jane Fonda, Daniel Shaw, Jack. Hey, this is just Richard Nixon's enemies list. You crossed out his name and put yours.
Bonnie Gumbel.
He's like, give me that. Give me it back. Bonnie Gumbel. Oh.
I just love, like, I love how desperate Homer becomes for Grimes to love him. Like, with the dinner party stuff. And
like Mo tells him to invite him over, turn him from an enemy into a friend. Then when he's not expecting it, bam, the old fork in the eye. He's like, think it would work without the old fork in the eye? The way he says fork in the eye, like, fork in the eye. It's not the first time for everything. And then
he's so desperate for everything to be perfect.
He's so hyped up.
So nervous. He's
like, Marge, perfect. Lisa, perfect. Bart, perfect. Other kid, perfect.
I love, like... And, like, what does he do? What's his reason to get Grimes over there?
He hasn't told them that he's coming for dinner. He says it's an emergency.
Right.
So...
Grimes should know.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, what is it like, Simpson?
Like, the paper is, like, sticking out of his briefcase. Yeah. Like,
he's like, welcome to Casa de... The Simpsons residence, or Casa de Simpson, as I call it. You know, like, he's just so... All in one breath.
And he comes in, he's like, this place is a palace. Good heavens.
He's like, it is. Like, he's like, better be important. He's like, it is, but first let me introduce you to my perfect family.
Yeah.
This is my wife, Marge.
Hello.
Our beautiful baby. It's like, my daughter, Lisa, IQ 156.
Hi.
He's like, see? And my son, Bart. He owns a factory downtown. Like,
brilliant. Yeah. And this is where you really, like, it gets very, I guess, meta.
They never show how big the house actually looks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're like, yeah, they have, like, two living rooms. Like,
it is a dining room,
a kitchen, a basement, an attic.
And didn't we establish that Homer only gets, like, $360 a week with that Bear Tax episode?
Yeah.
Like, he gets how does he afford that? Two cars in the driveway and lobster for dinner.
Yeah. And the whole... I do that delivery. Good heavens. It's the palace.
It's the palace. I live above a bowling alley and under another bowling alley.
Wow. And then like he's like, I'm sorry, isn't that? And it's like the picture's like, yes, that's me. And the guy standing next to me is President Gerald Ford. This is when I was on tour with Smashing Pumpkins. Oh, and here's a picture of me in outer space.
Yeah, he's like, you were in outer space.
Sure. You never been.
He's like, want to see my Grammy?
That line killed me. Just his delivery of like, sure. You've never been.
Would you like to see my Grammy Award?
No, I wouldn't. God, I've had to work hard every day of my life. And what do I have to show for it? This briefcase and this haircut. And what do you have to show for your lifetime of sloth and ignorance?
What?
Everything! A dream house, 2 cars, a beautiful wife, a son who owns a factory, fancy clothes, and lobsters for dinner! And do you deserve any of it? No!
What are you saying?
I'm saying you're what's wrong with America, Simpson. You coast through life, you do as little as possible, and you leech off decent, hard-working people, like me. If you lived in any other country in the world, you'd have starved to death long ago.
He's got you there, Dad.
You're a fraud. A total fraud. It was nice meeting you.
Brutal.
You're a fraud. A total fraud. It was nice meeting you.
Oh, poor
I love that as well, Bart, where when he's like, you'd have starved to death a long time ago. I was like, he's got you there, Dad.
Yeah, so that's when you really, like, there's no going back there for Grimes and Homer there. But I like the fact that my next note is just Milhouse is suddenly working for Bart. Like, why is he accepting this? Why doesn't he just
adding machines. Industrial waste.
What are you doing all this stuff?
You put the adding machines.
They're just leaning right over the thing to get all the fumes.
Milhouse... He's like mopping the floor and he stops for a second like, get back to work.
Yeah. I don't know why he just accepts it. And then he finally is quitting time and then he's like, someone needs to be the night watchman.
Yeah.
And like, what did you say? No.
He gives him like the cap and the little thing. It's great. Like,
I think he's like, I'm tired or whatever. And it's like, he gives him a nickel for the coffee machine.
Yeah.
And just that like...
The rat.
The cup and then the rat falls into it and then the coffee like, ugh.
This is my life. Well, at least I'm doing better than Dad.
I like that.
Yeah, good stuff. He's aware enough.
Yeah, exactly. And like
Marge in the house, in front of the house with Homer.
When he's just sitting in the driveway in his car.
Why aren't you at work? Like, the car won't start. I don't feel very good today. I am at work.
Yeah. I love that. Marge's voice is like, maybe if you were a little more professional in your work... Like, just a little more. Yeah. Like, the idea for him, like, that's so foreign.
He's like, true professionalism. And, like, it's a great capper to the scene because, like, there's, like, Marge is based, and she does a good job. It's actually quite a nice scene where he's like, I'm sure he'll be anxious to make up as you are. He's like, no, he won't. He hates me.
Yeah.
And, like, it's good advice. She's like, he just feels insecure because he's getting through life so easily and it's been so difficult for him. It's like, Homer, like, he just completely disregards it.
Yeah,
that's his problem. He's a nut. It's not about me being lazy. It's about him being a crazy nut.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. So then Homer, like, this scene here is where you get to see, like, this is how it's going to end for Grimey.
Yeah.
Because, like he's, like, going to Lenny and Carl, and he's like, can you look at him in there? Pretending to be professional, whatever, and like, hey, what do you got against Homer?
Yeah,
you know,
it's like, has everyone it's one of those like, is everyone taking crazy pills sort of thing? It's like accidents have doubled, meltdowns have tripled every year since it's been.
Has it been great fire?
Graph.
No. Has it been disciplined? Oh no, everybody makes mistakes. That's why they put erasers on pencils.
Yeah, Homer's okay. Give him a break. I love that. And like Lenny turns to Carl, is like, "So what's new with you?"
How you doing? Yeah. Like after like, he's like, "He's not okay, and I want everyone in this plant to realize it. I would die a happy man if I could prove to you that Homer Simpson has the intelligence of a 6-year-old." He just turns around to him. So how you doing?
And Grime, then you get his whole thing of the model
plant
contest.
But like, what I think I noticed on this watch, it was like, you know, him taking it all apart, you know, the chill, and he thinks it's like this masterpiece of like oh, how deftly he's altered it. And like, it looks like shit. Like, the thing he puts on home, like, yeah. I think that's part of the joke, that it's like he's actually not as clever as he thinks he is.
Well, see, I was thinking, my take on that one was that he's not even bothered with making it look. He thinks Homer is so stupid that he won't even notice.
You could all go these that way, but he looked so proud of himself for doing it. That's where I was like,
yeah, he was very precise about.
Yeah, exactly. The thing. Like, and he was like, "Oh, this is so good," and it's like, of course, Homer is not gonna know, but like, also, like, it's not as good as you think it is.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like.
I love that scene. I don't know if it happened earlier in the episode or if it was here, but when Grimes is out the window, like, doing this, like,
this
evil
is
laugh.
Right here.
Yeah.
Like, Homer's like,
going home.
Tell Lenny I'm going home to work on the contest. I'll tell Mr. Burns.
Yeah, to the picture of Lenny. Yeah.
And Grimes is just into car.
I love, and again, Grimes' reaction, like, he's watching Homer leave, and like, Homer just backs right into Grimes' car. He's like, oh, God. This poor bastard.
So Homer, you just hear, like, you know, it's genius at work, and then like the basement, you just hear all this noise, and you know,
expletives.
Yeah. And
then there's a cut back to the factory here. Is this when
I think they cut back to the factory, and it's like it's fallen down rubble. Like,
it's like you're supposed to be watching it. I did watch it. Yeah,
started first falling down. Then it fell down.
They're like, they could still make some money off that land that the factory is on.
I was thinking, you know,
like, keep that. Like,
Oh, actually, sorry, they just cut back. Like, we kind of skipped ahead. Like, just there is where they have Milhouse become the Night Watchman, and then straight away, it all happens in the one scene, kind of where the next day Bart shows up, and it's
okay.
I wonder where all the rats will go, and they all run into Moe's.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone tuck your socks into your pants, or your pants into your socks.
I love that, like, Moe's prepared for this situation. Yeah. Like, he knows what to do. And when you get to the whole model plant competition,
I forgot, like, this was like the climax of the episode.
Yeah.
Like, yeah,
I thought this was like midway through or something. This is just one of the anecdotes.
Yeah, no, but this is like where it comes to a boil. Like,
so first you got Ralph with it's like a Malibu Stacy house.
It's pretty
good,
sir.
The word
sir.
Nuclear on it. Yes, it's pretty good, sir. That's a great little addition.
And I actually meant to say it to you earlier on as well, where he asked for Grimes to be his executive vice president. Like, Smithers' eyes, like, narrowed.
Yeah. then
you
have
supposed to be a power plant, not Aunt Beulah's bordello. He's like, thank you, get out.
Just stays there.
Get off the stage, sweetheart.
And it's typical Martin. Like, every time he puts something down, I feel like he's going to be like, kaboom!
Yeah. You know? Behold the power plant of the future today!
It's like, it's too cold and sterile.
Where's the heart?
Yeah.
Like, what? Of all people, like, it's like, but he really is a man of contradictions. Like,
yeah, he is, yeah. But it really generates power. It's powering this whole room right now.
Burns' reaction, like, you lose, get off my property.
Get off my property. Like, don't just leave the room, get out of the whole property. It'll look deadly as well. That's the worst thing. You must have thought he was a shoo-in.
Super villain's lair. Yeah. Like.
And then Homer comes with this, like, patched up. And like, Grimey's just so quick to, you know, he's like, look, Homer is in a competition for children. And like, I love Lenny. He's like, pipe down.
Like, Burns, like, could you explain your model, young man?
What's to explain? He's an idiot.
Yeah, pipe down.
Oh.
He's like, well, basically, I just copied the plant we have now. Like, then I added some fins to lower wind resistance. And this racing stripe, I feel, is pretty sharp.
Agreed.
First prize. Get some cash as well, I noticed.
Yeah. It's like, and Homer beat their brains out.
That is a line I use constantly. And just
like football or something. Like,
just in general. Like, yeah. You know, and he beat their brains out.
And he beat their brains out. Yeah. Cristiano Ronaldo scored the 95th minute and he beat their brains out. Exactly. Why was I happy that Ronaldo scored that goal?
Because
I just love Ronaldo so much.
He's great. Like,
and I just like to see winners doing good.
And I will tell
good for him. I'm happy for him.
Like, I was kind of dozing watching the match. I was in and out.
Yeah.
And I woke up with like 20 minutes to go. And I was like, I'll have to watch the end, you know, now.
Yeah.
Like, from all accounts, United were awful. Like, they seemed all over the shop. And then just that, like, right at the end, kind of scrappy, I guess. Like, it was just like a good cross into the box, fell to somebody, and just like to that man in the 95th minute,
just the right person.
Yeah. And just like him ripping the top off, going mental, the whole. Like packed stadium going mental. Like,
it was a great moment. So.
You love football, not better than last minute goals. Yeah, nothing better than that. Like,
I love it.
And like, even though it's the first goal, like,
no, I didn't.
Unbelievable! Like, it was like Alex. One of those. Yeah, it was like one of those ones where it was, you know, a free kick in between, just outside the box, but not towards the, but like over by the corner flag.
Yeah,
you know, in that area. You're like, oh, you're going to put it into the mixer where there's everybody there. And you put it to the edge of the box, like, and your man just pulled away, left foot on the volley, to the side netting, like the right side netting.
Woof.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Brilliant.
And again, he'd been pretty bad for most of the game as well. Like, it's great. Well,
that's football, huh?
Yeah, that's poker, folks. So Grimes has his freak out here.
And like this whole thing, like the thing that I think I like the most about Grimes' freak out is the little stiff penguin walk that he does when he's imitating Homer. Like, and that, like, crazy eye. Like, he's just looking up to space and just wiggling around.
Well, he's like, the whole, like, nah, ah. You can almost hear, like, the whistle cracking. Nah. Like, I can be lazy, too. Look at me. I'm a worthless employee, just like Homer Simpson. Give me a promotion.
I love that one.
Oh, I eat like a slob, but nobody minds. Gobble, 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 gobble.
He's like, I'm peeing on the seat. Give me a raise.
He's like, now I'm returning to work without washing my hands. It doesn't matter because I'm Homer Simpson. I don't need to work because someone else will do it for me. Do, do, do. He's like, you're okay, Grimy? I better than okay. I'm Homer Simpson. Homer Simpson. You wish.
Lost it.
Yeah, and then like... Hi, Mr. Burns. I'm the worst worker in the world. Time to go home to my mansion and eat my lobster. What's this? Extremely high voltage. Well, I don't need safety gloves because I'm Homer Sim. And they show you the skeleton.
For a second. Like,
I'm like, ooh.
Yeah.
You know?
And they then give they're you all just like, ooh.
Bit of grizzliness.
You even hear the little thud as he hits the ground.
Yeah.
And the fact that like the next it's classic editing, like the next scene has to be like the bang, dun. Like is gravestone. And it's
like just says like Grimes on the gravestone, like Frank Grimes or Grimey, as he liked to be called.
It's a great
honest that a man can triumph over adversity. And even though Frank's agonizing struggle through life was cut tragically short, I'm sure he's looking down on us right now. And then it's just like Homer being like.
Asleep. That's such a great ending. First of all, Lovejoy went like, or Grimy, as he liked to be called.
No, he didn't. Like,
yeah, and then like Homer is like asleep, and he's like, "Change the channel, Marge." Yeah. And then like the shot, Lenny. Like everyone laughs. Yeah, it's like that's our Homer, and the shot of everyone like Homer has stole the show again. Yeah. They're all laughing at Homer as his coffin's getting lowered into the ground. Like it's such a funny ending. Like just the act of lowering that coffin.
Yeah.
At that moment, like that's just the makes end it of it. So
that's
much.
That's the last bit of the episode.
Yeah.
The coffin getting lowered in. Like
brilliant. Well, look. That's should we put a bow on it and get into ratings?
Please.
We want you to tell us what you think and be honest because no one from the show is here spying on you.
Let me ask you something, friend.
Yes.
What did you think of it?
I really liked it. It's I was wondering whether it was gonna hold up as a classic, and I have to say there's way more There's a lot of metatextual stuff, but it's way more dramatic than I remembered, and all the better for it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know,
a bit realer than you remember. Like,
yeah, like, and like the the performance was, really, really good. As, like, Hank Azaria as Grimes, like probably his best performance, I think.
Yeah,
you know, it's very dark. It's very satirical. It's like I say, very, but it's also very funny. And very, like, watchable, like, in a way that, like, I could watch that one again.
Yeah.
Soon. You know what I mean? Whereas I never want to watch that Lovejoy one again, to be honest. Like, I have no longing to watch it again. Like,
it's kind of like the pacing of it was a bit quicker or something. Like, you know what I mean? It felt like a different.
Yeah, there was no fat on it. That's what it felt like.
You know? And it felt to me like everyone kind of gave a great performance in it. You know, like Marge's little bits were great. Yeah. Homer had a great performance in it. You get quite a bit of Lenny and Carl. You get a lot of Burnsy. You know, Bart and Milhouse was good. I feel like everyone kind of, there was no bit where I'm like, I don't really like that. Or, you know, like you said, there wasn't much fat on it. What about an MVP? Would it be old Grimey himself?
Yeah, it's Grimey, but I think more is Hank Azaria than Grimey, to be honest. Like, you know, I would like, we already singled them out. It'll have to be Grimey because we go by the character, but like Hank Azaria is, you know.
Yeah, it was brilliant. Apparently that role, where was that role supposed to go to?
I read something about this, actually.
Nicolas Cage was considered. Now, that would have not been as good.
I love Nicolas Cage, but no, you can't. Yeah.
Decided Azaria was more suitable because the role involved a great deal of frustration and required extensive knowledge of the show. Azaria felt that the role should instead go to William H. Macy.
That's who it was supposed to be. That they were trying to, they couldn't get him or something like that. Like
he said, I based the character on William Macy. I can't really copy him vocally, but I tried to get as close as I could and copy his rhythms and the way he has that sort of seething passion underneath that total calm exterior. It says here the producers worked a lot with Azaria to help him perfect the role and gave him more guidance than they normally would. And it does show.
Yes.
Azaria felt it was the role he worked hardest on, saying, I think it's the one we did the most takes on, the most emotional. It felt like the one I worked on the hardest from a performance point of view in preparation and in execution.
I do think it's his best one we've covered so far, anyway. Yeah. Definitely. Like, you know.
Brilliant. I'm delighted.
Yeah. Rating, I'm going to give it a 9. It's a big bounce back from last week.
Big time.
Yeah, you know. But again, this season I'm getting whiplash from, you know.
But this season. Yeah, we were on an unbelievable hot streak for a while and then an unbelievable low streak by their standards.
Mm-hmm.
I always ask your opinion and I chime in halfway with my own anyway. But I'm going to give it to Grimey 2 or Azaria. I'm going to give it a 9.1. Terry.
Ooh.
It was a little, so I thought,
like a 9.5 in my world, like.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I thought it was great. I left the episode was over and I had the thought, I remember having the thought, that was great.
Yeah.
I just thoroughly enjoyed it. It was funny, it was, you know, yeah, it was different. I love that they were pointing out all the little things that when you add them all together don't make any sense of all the things Homer's doing.
What is going on in this universe?
Like, yeah, exactly. So yeah, big fan. We only got 2 more to go, Terry.
2 more plus our
recap.
Yeah, of course.
2 more episodes in the season.
Yeah, man, we're barreling down the.
Oh my.
So. Yeah. So I've been reading a lot of Cat in the Hat lately.
Don't get it.
It's one of the lines.
You're a Dr. Seuss man, are you?
Dr. Seuss. Dr. Whatever. Seuss.
Whatever, I've only ever seen it spelled. I don't know.
Dr. Zaius is from
Planet of the Apes.
Dr. Slash Seuss. Simpsons.
Whatever. Okay, fine. I'm in Simpsons mode.
Oh my god.
Whatever. All right.
Well, that's it. Dr. Seuss, Cat in the Hat, and Horton Hears a Who. Now, Horton Hears a Who is a bit weirder than Cat in the Hat.
Mm. I don't think I'm a fan of Dr. Seuss, to be honest. I don't think I've liked anything that I've seen, movie or book, from Dr.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I mean, his rhyming...
I don't like the animations of those characters.
No, I look...
And the rhyming, yeah. Go on, yeah.
I will say...
Did you just yawn without opening your mouth?
Oh, yeah.
Very impressive.
You like that?
Yeah, I did, yeah. Well. See, folks, he's doing that out of respect for you.
Absolutely.
To not make audible yawns on the mic.
I mean, I had 3 beers since lunch. It'll make anybody sleepy.
That is my
third beer, in fairness.
I'm going to get the plugs in. You can catch us on...
Sure, yeah.
Twitter, Put It In H Podcast. You can catch us on Instagram, Put It In H Podcast. We have a link on our Instagram bio that has pretty much everything else. If you care to see what else we're up to, we have video podcasts there. We have merchandise there. We have our latest episode. Terry, what are you doing? Stop showing me that horrific doll behind you. And we have our Patreon.
Oh, the Patreon. Well, me and my pal Egg here are going to be hanging out over on the Patreon. If you care to join us, you get it for the low, low fee of $5 a month, €4.50. And of course, we don't know what it is in sterling.
Frankly, we don't want to know.
There it is. So over on the Patreon, at the moment, we're doing... We're always doing our... bonus content. At the moment, you're getting 2 of our sister podcasts, What's So Great About, and 2 kind of random bonus episodes. At the moment, we're doing our Big Willy Flops TM.
Yes, you're saying it.
You got me saying it. I mean, I should just decide. I'm just going to get on board. Okay,
yeah.
I'm going to get on board with it. So we're saying What's So Great About Will Smith, if he is good enough to elevate his so-called flops, you know? So a lot of recent Will Smith movies.
Basically, yeah. Basically everything he's made in the last
10 years. Yeah.
Big Will Smith fan, so I'm only looking for an excuse to gush about him. But some of these movies...
But this season, this miniseries... there's that going on. We've done one on What's So Great About Ryan Gosling. We've done one on What's So Great About Marvel. What's So Great About 90s action movies. So there's tons of stuff there for that. And then the bonus ones, there's a load of top 5 episodes we've done. We have done kind of... Let's see, Andy's made me an emo playlist. I've made him like a couple of different playlists with music, hair metal, like your list goes on and on and on.
As Terry said, a lot of top 5, like top 5 acting performances, top 5 opening album tracks, top 5
needle drops.
Needle drops. We've got about 70 extra episodes over there on the Patreon.
They're all fun. They're all, you know.
Do you know what I worked out today, Terry?
Yeah.
We speak to each other for 6 days a year
in total
on this podcast. Yeah,
wow.
And that's just on the podcast. Isn't that mad? Six whole days. Anyway,
Jesus.
Sorry, I derailed you there.
No, it's okay. But like, so all good stuff on the Patreon. We, you know, come join us over there. Why don't you?
Yeah, why don't you?
And like we've said before, we will be switching the format up. So What's So Great About is going to be coming off the Patreon and going onto the main feed for while we take a break from our Simpsons stuff once we finish season 8. And then on the Patreon, we're going to be looking to add some more like commentaries. We're thinking of doing some film reads with our, you know, our players club, as is our patron pals.
So we're going to have to change that name, are we?
Yeah, I guess so. What do we change it to?
Any suggestions, folks, to what the Players Club could be renamed as? Very open to it.
Yes. I mean, we're gonna have to change all our branding.
Oh, no.
Anyway, and I think we're looking to do like a couple of kind of radio show formats where we...
Very excited about that.
It'll kind of just be like the intro, but maybe extended for, you know, an hour or so with some songs.
It'll be a good time.
Yeah, absolutely, man. We always show you a good time over on the Patreon.
Mm-hmm. I think we've
No Simpsons content.
Absolutely zero Simpsons content there.
But if you can't afford the $5, €4.50 a month, you know, I hear you. Look, in all seriousness now, look, I appreciate the fun and games we have here, but I don't want you donating to this podcast if you can't afford it. Like, I don't want you to do it.
I want you to.
Now, I look, Andy's joking here. $4.50
a month. It can't do $1.15 a week or something along those. One, you know, come on. Cut the shit.
In all seriousness, don't do it if you can't afford it. There, said that. Now, but what you can't afford not to do,
okay,
is give me a review. Now, Andy, in this episode,
yeah,
Homer had what they call a 513. Now, I don't want 513 star reviews.
That'd be ridiculous.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, look, I'm already asked. But I tell you what, if you just knock that 13 off and just give me a 5-star review, I'll be a very happy man. It'll be a good Thursday. I need those reviews, guys.
He needs them for sustenance, frankly. Yeah. Well,
egg
listen.
Is starving here.
Get rid of that thing for next week, will you? No, it's freaking me out. Yeah, this faceless doll. Is that there? Like,
yeah, because I put him there.
But do you only put him there for the pod?
Yeah, he's never sitting there. Normally.
Unbelievable. Look at this thing. It's like Jason, like out of Friday the 13th.
Michael Myers.
Says the horror fan. Yeah. Look at this. Look at this guy. Okay.
He's
well,
great.
Look. Well, look.
I don't know if it's a boy or a girl.
I would guess
non-binary.
No, yeah, I can't.
Like he's wearing girls' clothes.
Okay, so. Well, you know what? Hey,
it's 2021.
2021.
If you've made it this far, a big thank you, and of course you're doing the Lord's work as per. But we just want to say, Andy,
I love you guys,
and I like you. You get the big L from me when you sign up for that Patreon. Although I do believe I forgot to say it last week, but you know, whatever.
Did you?
They know, right?
Oh, it's okay, because normally, here's what a decent guy I am, Terry, right? I stupidly set up the Patreon. I know we've talked about the Patreon for the last 15 minutes of this pod, but I stupidly, when I set it up to take the $4.50 on the sign up, and then, like, the first of every month. So, if anyone ever, like, subscribes, like, a week before the end of the month, I always refund it. I feel too bad about that. Or even 2 weeks at times before. I will refund them.
Hold on a second. They're getting. You never discussed this with me. They're getting two extra episodes for free then.
No, they never bail before the next month.
It doesn't matter, Andy. We need to discuss this.
Folks,
one week is understandable. 2 weeks is your portion.
Maybe. I don't know. But
10 days should be the cutoff.
Yeah, it's around that. Yeah, 2 weeks probably not, but yeah, folks, we have some discussions to make off air, so we're gonna leave it there. Catch you next week.
Bye bye.
Nelly Kelly, the baseball game, knew the players, knew all their names. You could see her there every day, shout hooray when they play. Her boyfriend by the name of Joe said,
to Coney Isle, dear, we'll go.
Then Nellie started to fret and pout,
and to him I heard her shout,
hey, take me out to the ball game, take me out with the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack, I don't care if I never get back. Let me root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame, 'cause it's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball.